Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9:09 here on Thursday, this Thursday morning, as we head into the final hour. We're going to talk with Lou Fregoso next half hour about Children's Hospital, some of the things that the good work that they're doing. But we start with Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, to talk about a couple of different things. Morning, Dub. How are you? My alma mater, I should say.
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Hey, let's talk about, I didn't ask you to come on to talk about this, but I did get some text yesterday from CVS because I'm a CVS customer. There's something going on in the legislature about CVS and pharmacy benefit managers, and as I understand it, the legislature's saying, well, you can't own a pharmacy and be a pharmacy benefit manager. So CVS' response was, okay, we'll shut down drugstores. Maybe I'm misreading that. Do you know anything about all of this at all?
Well, I do know that there's a lot of interest right now in these PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers. They are middlemen between the drug companies that make the drugs and the pharmacies that sell the drugs and the insurance companies that pay for most of that. And there's a lot of allegations that they are, especially there's only three big ones. One of them is affiliated with CVS. The other one is affiliated with United Healthcare. So there's a lot of belief of that there's really vertical integration and that they are in some ways driving up drug prices as opposed to holding them down, which is what they're supposed to do. So there is increased import on, if you will, regulating them, one of which is saying that CVS shouldn't be a PBM and a pharmacy. And I don't know exactly where that stands, but I know there's a lot of interest in going in that direction.
So I got a text from CVS saying a proposed law would close CVS Pharmacy in Louisiana. Tell your elected officials and governor to oppose. And then they give you the details and what to text in. Representative McMakin, of Baton Rouge, referenced some of those messages saying that we're not going to close pharmacies. You're liars. Quit being liars. Quit using scare tactics. But again, what I read from this was that here's what I'm trying to figure out, Dub. If CVS had a choice of running, being a pharmacy benefit manager or being a drugstore, they're going to opt for pharmacy benefit manager because that's where the real money is. That was my takeaway from this. Tell me about pharmacy.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I wouldn't be surprised at that. But basically, that's kind of unnecessary because all they needed to do is to, if CVS wanted to sell off its drug stores, somebody would want to pick those up. I mean, CVS is a big, powerful chain. They wouldn't, it makes no sense to close them down. I think that may be a political gamble.
That's what it seems like a fairgrounds type thing to me. I hate to conflate the two, but almost like, let's start bluffing here and see who's going to do what. Talk about the role of pharmacy benefit managers in general, though, because we discussed this a little bit with a legislator when all of this came up, and I don't think people realize the role that they play. And I guess take me from a case study of any drug that we need. And I have, for example, me. Okay, I got OptumRx is the drug company, and I got UMR Insurance. And I go to a doctor, I get a drug. From that point, what happens?
Well, again, these are the middlemen. They buy. There's actually dozens and dozens and dozens of pharmaceutical manufacturers. You know, there's about 8 or 10 big ones, but there's a whole bunch of little ones. And I know this a little bit from their perspective. I've got a friend that's the economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, and he's very upset about PBMs because the insurance companies feel like they're held hostage, that they're required to cover, any drugs that are on the market. And the PBMs know this, and so they drive up the price, and then they do things like give the customers, vouchers, to cover their 20% copay or whatever it is, and then the insurance companies have to pay the bulk of those high prices that they can't negotiate prices with these PBMs. But of course, those high prices get passed along to consumers in terms of higher insurance costs. So I know that the insurance companies are very upset at the PBMs. There's also a lot of other things that says that if they negotiate with the drug manufacturers and get discounts, that somehow those aren't being passed along to the customers.
So this is going to be a gross simplification and statement, but again, trying to figure out what's going on here, it would seem as though. Tell me when PBMs came about, Dub.
Ooh, I don't know the history of them. I mean, I think they've been around for a long time. And again, they developed with a reasonable thing, is that if you're a pharmacy and you need to buy drugs from 100 different drug manufacturers, that's just really hard. Instead, you contact one PBM, and they are middlemen. They call it, they're like wholesalers. They buy the drugs from the manufacturers, and they sell them to the pharmacies, and then charge the money to the insurance companies.
Started in the late 60s.
So they served a useful purpose. But the feeling is that they've really taken over the industry.
That's what I was going to say, because they started in the 60s, and it seems to me this was something that was beneficial to both the insurance company and the drug manufacturer or the patient. But then somehow along those lines, they realized the money that was available, and they went into business for themselves and started representing themselves only. Is that accurate or not?
That seems to be what's happening, and especially in the CVS case. And then the other, remember, there's only three big ones, and the other one is affiliated with the big insurance, United Health, which is a big insurance company. So again, they're supposed to be independent wholesalers, and two of the three are clearly not that.
So what we're talking about is a lack of regulation, market share, monopolization or not?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Kind of like in the old days.
There basically is no regulation on them, or has been none. And now both state legislators and the feds are also looking at saying, well, maybe we ought to do something with this, because it seems to have gotten out of control.
And PBMs are using the scare tactics of, wait a minute, now if you do this, prices are going to go crazy, this not going to be available, blah, 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 right?
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Because, I'm a communications major from UNO, and back in the day, The studios owned the production companies, the properties, the studios, the theaters and everything else. They owned distribution. Yeah. They owned everything. And it seems like is what we're describing here.
Sounds a little bit like that, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the influence that PBMs have, because whenever you talk about a lot of money, you talk about a lot of influence. And if they have a lot of influence, what's the likelihood that regulation is going to catch up to PBMs? Because I'm thinking not likely.
Well, again, that's just hard to say because they are, like I say, nobody knows except insiders in the industry, the insurance companies and pharmacies themselves. You know, the average person has never heard of a PBM, has no clue what they do. So how influential they'll be with the I haven't seen them as being a big lobbyist type of activity, but they certainly have the power to be able to start doing that. I guess the fact that you're saying that they're using these scare tactics may mean that they don't have the lobbyists out there, that otherwise they would just go directly to the legislatures and try to go to them instead of trying to scare everybody else.
And the cynical part of me says,
I don't know. They do have a lot of power, and exactly how they operate is part of the problem is they are really behind the scenes, and nobody knows what they're doing. There's no transparency.
Yeah, the cynical part of me says they don't have the lobby because there has been no attempt to regulate them. But as soon as that attempt happens, watch the lobby form. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But either way, exactly. If so, let's make pharmacy benefit managers disappear. If they were not there, what would the model look like?
Well, it's not saying we need to have them. Okay. But the question is, I think what there may be pressure is for CVS to basically break itself up, to separate the pharmacy from the PBM, make it go back to being an independent agency. And the idea is if there's three of them that are independent, then they can compete with each other, and that competition may control it. But again, you know, the CVS pharmacies are not competing with the other one. CVS benefit managers are not competing with other people, because CVS pharmacies are only dealing with the CVS PBM. And so some of the competition has gone away. And so what I think one approach is to say, let's go back and simply say, let's make all three of them to be independent and make them compete with each other.
Governor Landry tweeting, drug prices soaring thanks PBMs, the profiteering big money for gaming the system. They hurt patients and small businesses. No more, not here. Let's rein in PBMs now. That sounds good on a tweet or an X message, whatever you want to say it. But how hard is that going to be to do, Dub? And every action has reactions, right?
Well, I mean, I think the question is, can the states do much about it? You know, the state of Louisiana saying we need to separate CVS pharmacies from CVS PBM. But this is a national organization. I don't know that Louisiana, you know, this is a case where CVS might say, well, I'll just pull out of Louisiana. So I don't know if a state is the one that can do this.
So the CVS CVS operates as a PBM under what name? CVS?
That's the name I know it by. I haven't seen anything different.
So they would be negotiating for themselves for a lower price, with themselves for a lower price? Tell me what they do. How does that work?
The question is, in the case of CVS, like I say, if you talk to Blue Cross, mm-hmm. they would say that CVS is really, you know, trying to push the prices up and dump it on the insurance company.
But something, ultimately, the insurance company's not going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it, right?
Well, right. The insurance company pays directly. And the point is, all we see is that insurance, premiums go up, but we don't know what's causing that. There's no transparency there. But I will tell you that pharmacy, let me give you one fact, mm-hmm. for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, that 15 years ago, pharmacy was 12% of all of their spending on health care. That number has gone up to over 20% last year. So that has been the fastest growing area of cost for health care.
Drugs, prescription drugs?
What's that?
You say it's a prescription drugs is the largest, 20%?
No. Yeah, the amount of money, so there's insurance companies pay money for three things, hospital, doctors, and drugs. Well, there's a few other things. That's the primary ones. Mm-hmm. And the drug component of it has more than doubled in the last decade or so.
So that money's going somewhere. Now, from there, we can go to what we pay here in this country as opposed to where they pay in other countries, right? Because
Right. But that's a whole different issue, kind of unrelated to PBMs. But it's the notion that we do almost all of the development of new drugs, and we have no regulation on the drug companies. Most other countries use what's called reference pricing and something else, where the country, you know, for instance, because they all have, like I say, if Medicare was going to say, well, we're going to negotiate with the drug companies and set a price on what we're going to pay for it. Well, that's what the other countries do. We don't do that. And so we pay whatever price the drug companies charge.
Let me pick it up.
And then everybody else pays a much lower price. So we subsidize almost all the research and development that happens in the world.
Right. So let me pick it up here. We're going back. PBMs are supposed to negotiate down the price of drugs, correct?
Well, again, at least, yes, that's part of it, yes.
In theory, okay. But yet, in the United States, we pay far higher drug prices than anywhere else, right?
Right, because the PBMs are the ones that are supposedly negotiating with the drug manufacturers. Mm-hmm. In other countries, the government sets the drug prices.
Because it would seem to me it ain't working. But we'll pick it up when we come back with Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO. I got a text here from a lot of people saying that Caremark is the CVS PBM. So there you go. I know that and somebody else texted about insurance companies still have record profits. I know healthcare is very complicated when it comes to delivery. We were going to eventually get to Medicaid and cuts. We'll talk about that as well with Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance in my alma mater, UNO. Confused? Good. Me too. We'll pick it up when we come back on WWL. Talking to Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance in my alma mater, UNO, about PBMs and so forth. We're going to move on here. But, Dub, I guess our previous conversation, somebody texted in and said, well, that was truly confusing. It does go to the opaque nature of the healthcare delivery system, does it not?
Yes, I hope I made it a little clearer.
Well, no,
but
it's not
it
you.
Very
it's,
confusing.
It's not you. It's the nature of it. And that's the point I was trying to make here. And along those lines, one of my favorite malaprops of all time is, we have met the enemy and he is us. And along those lines, when it comes to MAGA supporters and healthcare exchanges, I don't think they realize what's in this big, beautiful bill or Medicaid and how it can affect them. Steve Bannon recently saying there are a lot of MAGAs on Medicaid, and proportionate to the total, that's even more true of the marketplace.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk about that if you would, please.
Yeah, I mean, that just become, the Big Beautiful Bill, actually, and several other things. Big Beautiful Bill does have some substantial cuts to Medicaid. And what Kaiser Family Foundation has noted is that a fair number of the people that are on Medicaid are Trump MAGA supporters. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplace, which is for people whose income is a little higher than it takes to qualify for Medicaid, but still fairly low, and particularly people who don't get their insurance through an employer. That's what.
Hang on a second. Let me jump in. The Affordable Care marketplace was part and parcel of Obamacare, correct?
Yes, it is. Affordable Care Act is Obamacare.
Okay.
And so what Affordable Care Act did primarily is get more people on insurance. And they did it two ways. One is through the Medicaid expansion, which Louisiana has done, but a dozen other southern states didn't do. Mm-hmm. And the other way is by subsidizing people who buy insurance through private insurance, but regulated by the government and subsidized by the government for fairly low-income people. Well, actually, it's not all just low-income people. They can buy through it up. They get subsidies up to 400% of the federal poverty line, which is like $80,000 or $90,000 a year. Still get a little bit of subsidies, and so it was. But it's the key thing is the subsidies that allow them to buy it. Also, with no pre-existing conditions, that was done through the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of the people, they're doing a number of things to that marketplace that is going to probably drive away a substantial number of the people that get their insurance through the marketplace. And Kaiser Family Foundation has found out that about 45% of them are MAGA or Republicans. And so I think it's going to be interesting politically when people start losing their insurance, and of the 45% of the people who will lose their insurance are Trump supporters or at least Republicans, And when people start losing their insurance, it'll be very interesting politically to see what the response to that is.
They're losing their insurance. This is going away with an eye toward reducing federal spending or shifting federal spending.
Yeah, because all those subsidies are coming from the federal government. And so they're trying to cut the amount of subsidies. This one actually gets kind of complicated. But let me give you just one example. Let's suppose that you have insurance through an employer, and then your spouse dies, and that's you got insurance through your spouse, or the company goes bankrupt and you're out of a job. Mm-hmm. Well, now you go to the marketplace to try to get insurance. Well, one of the things that they've done is they've said that you have to file paperwork to show that your income justifies you getting this subsidy. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a reasonable thing to do. But, you know, how do you get insurance from a company that just closed down? How do you get that information to prove that you had insurance and what your income was? And also, if it was income through your spouse, you know, getting that information may not be easy to do. Historically, you were given a 90-day period to actually get all your payments together to be able to make that justification. The Big Beautiful Bill takes away that 90-day period, so people will be losing until they can make their paperwork done. They may be losing their insurance. Now, some of them may get it back later, but the other problem is all that paperwork. They've increased the paperwork requirements to prove that you deserve to get those subsidies, but they've also fired a whole bunch of the people that normally handle that paperwork. So is there going to be anybody there to process the paperwork and, and qualify you for the subsidies? And you put all those, and there's several other things, put them all together, and it means that a substantial number of the people that are currently on the marketplace, get their insurance at the marketplace, will lose their insurance. Another big factor is this is not part of the Big Beautiful Bill, but the Biden administration increased the subsidies tremendously during the pandemic. Those subsidies are going to be going away soon, and the Republicans are not likely to renew those, which means the average person will have to pay a whole lot more for their insurance, and a lot of them will probably drop the insurance. So that's what the people that have studied it say, that there's two things. One, a lot of people are going to lose their insurance, and two, about half of them are Republicans and MAGA supporters.
What happens when people drop their influence to the healthcare market, the delivery system, to people that have insurance and people that pay taxes?
Well, then they'll be uninsured.
Right, but they still go to emergency rooms, do they not, if they get sick?
Yes. So far, most of the focus has been on the people that are losing insurance. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the second part of it, and you've nailed it. What about the hospitals that now, you know, I mean, like I say, as I told you before, I'm affiliated with a local hospital. Mm-hmm. And before the Medicaid expansion, about 8% of all of our customers were uninsured people. Because of the Obamacare, that number fell below 2%. Well, guess what? That number is going to be going back up again because of all this. So the hospitals will end up eating, hospitals still provide care to most of these people, and there will not be, compensated for it, at least directly.
I'm getting texts from people saying that their family members hate Obamacare, but yet they're insured under the Affordable Care Act, and that's like saying the government should keep their hands off of my Social Security, right?
Right, exactly. So now, again, and Obamacare, especially the Republicans spent years saying repeal and replace. Well, they never did that. They're not saying that anymore. But the analysis seems to be they're kind of partially repealing it with these new a bunch of little rules that take away a piece here and a piece there and a piece someplace else. But the key thing is going to be politically. Economically, I can tell you what's going to happen. Politically, what's going to happen when they lose their insurance? Will they blame that on Trump and the Republicans? That's the political part of it that I'm going to be interested to watch.
So when it comes to the big three with Obamacare. I just want to recap this for a second because I remember having these discussions back in the day. It was keeping your kid on insurance until they were 26. It was not being denied for pre-existing conditions, and it was no upper limits on coverage. Are those three things still available?
They're not touching any of those. Everybody loves those. There's no, the Republicans have learned a lesson. They're not touching any of those. But what they are touching is who gets insurance.
Okay.
And how much they have to pay for it. So
when you say up to 40%,
a lot of people, you know, on the Medicaid, they're cutting back the amount of funding that goes into the Medicaid. And the only way that when you cut the funding is to cut off the people that are getting it.
So when you say
now, one of the things they're trying to do is have this work requirement, and that's one way that may lose a lot of people that can't satisfy the work requirement.
So that knocks them off the Medicaid rolls. But what happens to them?
Well, then they're uninsured.
And then what happens if they get sick?
Well, they go to the emergency room.
And who pays for that?
And the rest of us pay for that indirectly.
But ultimately, we end up paying for that, don't we?
Yeah. And the estimates that I've seen say that because if you don't have insurance and you don't get care for your routine type of chronic illnesses, high blood pressure, high cholesterol and things of that sort, then when you do go to the emergency room, you have multiple comorbidities and the costs are much higher than they would be if you actually had insurance.
Generally speaking, is it accurate to say that delivering health care through the emergency room is the most expensive way to do it?
Absolutely.
Okay. And when you said 80 to 90...
And the good news is, because of Obamacare, we've gotten away from a lot of that. We gave people insurance. They had a hard time. They've slowly been able to find primary care physicians to take care of a number of their issues and reduce the load in the emergency room.
When you say up to $80,000-$90,000 a year, up to 400% of the federal poverty level, is that for a family or an individual?
That would be for a family of four. That number, the $90,000, is for a family of four.
Thank you, Dub. Anything else before we let you go?
There is just so much, Tommy, that I couldn't begin to cover it.
Yeah.
But thank you for the opportunity.
The only thing I would say, Dub, is I would leave people with the thought of, before you blame this one or that one, look into it to see who exactly is taking one away. Somebody texted in, for example, ACA never lived up to the narrative of everyone has insurance. It was a failure. But I don't know if everybody got insurance, but what do your friends in the healthcare system say about affordable healthcare? Because I know people that are on it that have insurance as a result of it. Somebody else texted in and said their father hated Obamacare, but they're on the Affordable Care Act. Is there a big disconnect between people realizing how things work and what they're in favor of?
And the Affordable Care Act does have some problems. That medical marketplace, one of the problems is a lot of people get what's called the bronze plan, which might give you like the equivalent of a $4,000 to $6,000 deductible, and these people can't pay the deductible. So there are some problems with the current structure, but the fact is that before the Affordable Care Act, there were 50 million uninsured. After the Affordable Care Act, a couple of years later, it was down to 20 million uninsured. So 30 million people got insurance through the Affordable Care Act that did not have it before.
And then even the follow-through on bronze plan, to be fair, you would have to look at, well, can you afford the premium or not? If you can afford the premium and you opt to get a high deductible and drive a fancy car, for example, well, then you got nobody to blame but yourself. But then if you can't afford the high premium and you have the high deductible, that means there's not affordable health care for you. Accurate?
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. Ain't nothing free. 940, 20 till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.